Good morning and welcome to Renovating in WA. I'm Sally Barker. Joining us on the show today is Sue Daly from Into Property and Joe Maiolo from Maiolo Constructions, proud station sponsors. Good morning.
Good morning, Sally.
How are we both?
Very well, thank you.
Good, thank you. Now, today we're talking about walls. We've spoken all about budgeting, planning, themes and all the rest of it, but walls. Okay. Correct. So how important is it to know what walls can stay and what walls can go?
That's for you.
Walls can definitely be removed out of a property, but there's a lot that needs to be checked beforehand. If it's a load-bearing wall, where we're taking the load-bearing wall takes all the weight of your roof all the way down to your foundations, if that's the part of wall that needs to be removed, there's a lot more in process involved in it. If it's just a carrying wall or non-load-bearing wall, it's just carrying its own weight, you can get away with moving those walls. But with a structure wall, you need to look outside, inside the roof area. There could be items, roof struts that need to be repositioned, re-roofing work inside, and then that way we could look at most definitely taking a wall out of a home.
And then as well with taking a wall out, if you want like an open plan living area in the kitchen lounge, you'd be looking at a big expanse, maybe a lintel.
Lintel. We could be putting lintels in, or we could be adjusting LVLs in the roof.
Okay, so what's a lintel and what's an LVL? A
lintel is a steel lintel, where an LVL is a timber lintel. Still does the same job as a steel one, but a lot easier to manoeuvre putting into a roof.
And a lintel is a beam. So if you think of the big beams that go across your roof space, a lot of us have all put our heads in the roof at some stage and you see those very big, large beams. That's basically a lintel. So it's just a different terminology.
Is that because, why is that? Why have we changed the terminology for it?
LVLs were, well, they're a compressed composite of MDF timber.
Right.
Which still has the strength of a steel lintel. Okay. Some areas, depending of the load-bearing weight, a steel lintel would be too heavy, where an LVL timber beam would be sufficient to do the same job. So that's why we have the two areas now on lintels.
And the two terms. Does
that give you a little bit more flexibility?
Most certainly it does. Gives you a lot more flexibility if you need to get lintels into a roof area. We've still, as you know, solid piece, unable to bend it, ain't able to twist it to get it in with a timber LVL beam, you're able to manoeuvre that a bit more. It's not as heavy, so you can get a couple of guys working on it and replacing those roof lines.
And some lintels, like steel lintels, you'll see a crane actually lifting the beams across. So we'll call it a beam to keep it simple, lifting the beams across because of the weight of it. The men can't actually carry that up where it needs to go. So that's when they actually have the crane in and they lift the lintel across and put it in place. You'll see that predominantly more in second stories and new builds.
Second stories, new builds, and then those steel lintels require to be welded off certain anchoring points in the roof area. Then you need to get a welder in. He needs to get into the roof space, and it's always done without any roof cover on. So you've got able access to everything in there.
Is that a preferred choice?
Most of, when you're doing a new build or even a renovation work, you can look at physically removing roof tiles to get access to it, removing tin roof sheets to get access into your roof.
It's a lot easier to go from the top to work it than to try and work it from underneath.
And is it more cost effective?
It depends on what needs to be done, what size beam you need, what size lintel you need.
So, and obviously, removing a load-bearing wall is not as cost-effective as a non-load-bearing wall because you do have all the structural reworks that you need to, like the roof reworks or a lintel may be required. So the cost of it definitely plays a big part. So, and that's when you've got to consider whether you want to remove that wall. So an open plan is the big theme at the moment. Everyone wants that open plan without anything in the way. They want to be able to look through their home and see what's going on and communicate, which is good. It opens up the communication. People aren't segregated into different rooms. But there is a cost involved, and that's what they've got to weigh up as part of that budget that they're looking at that we've spoken about previously.
And is it how important is it to make sure that it isn't a load-bearing wall? Like, I mean, we do often hear about, you know, rogue tradies who will just rip walls down and those kinds of things. How important is it to know that you're getting what you've asked for?
To me, first of all, you need a registered builder or a structural engineer to view the project, view what you want to be doing to the home.
Yeah.
Once you've had those people that are qualified in this industry to look at it, give you the yes or nay on it, say, we can do this, we can put a lintel across here. But to me, yes, like you're saying, there is a lot of people that just go off and do it. And if they're not doing the job correctly, it will cause some detrimental effects down the track, you know.
What are the risks, Joe? Because that's a question for
Well, the risks is the roof collapsing, ceiling collapsing internally.
And it may not happen straight away,
no,
is that correct?
No, that's right. It could happen over a period of time. Could have disrupt the foundations. Then all of a sudden you've got a lot of load bearing going to another section of the wall, which would put a bit of stress fracture on that wall. So there is a lot of
unforeseen things that may happen, and then all of a sudden, the roof will come down or a wall will start to buckle, and that's when that's expensive then. So taking the time and actually getting the right information up front, again, we're reiterating what we've said previously, but it is so important because long term you don't want to make that mistake of having someone, take out a lintel or put a lintel in, even. So even take out a wall and put a lintel in. If they're not a registered builder or a structural engineer, question why. And just say, look, you're doing this, but are you a registered builder? Can we get a structural engineer's report? Don't let someone do that if they're not, because it is a risk to you, your family, and to the house as well.
And it affects your insurance policy on your home as well if works have been deemed to be unsatisfactory and not safe by the Building Commission and Australian standards.
So do you need to have a registered builder, like signed off on the work, for your insurance to cover?
Most definitely, unless if you're doing an owner-builder, you need to apply for your own owner-builder's permits.
Okay.
And then put your paperwork in through with your council like that.
And an owner-builder can actually go through the structural engineer. So they can actually get them to give them the report. And what they do then is they get the work done, and then the structural engineer comes back and signs off. So, and that's just as important as well. So that way they are covered on the insurance. And like an owner-builder, I've actually done the owner-builder's course. Myself personally, and I've got my construction white card. So, and that's what anyone can do. So if you want to be an owner builder with your renovation, obviously that's a great thing to do because you're involved and you're learning as you're going. So go do the course. But we'd still recommend, no matter what, looking and talking to a builder and asking him to maybe act as a building consultant so that you actually have got someone with that knowledge, like we spoke about before, get that person, whether you do it yourself or you get help. Mm-hmm. Well, along this way, if you're an owner builder doing your renovation, ask a builder to be a building consultant and make sure that you're getting the right advice and doing the right thing. It's a lot of money to take chances with.
Oh gosh, yes, and people's lives, you know, those
exactly
kinds of
right.
things.
That's what people don't think about.
What's involved in the course?
Owner builder's course, you actually go and actually sit where I did it. We actually did it through the home base in Wembley, which is one of those places I said to get your inspirations from. Mm-hmm. And it's a full day course. And you also need your white card. So once you've got that shown that you've done the course and you've got your white card, you apply to the Building Commission. And they are the ones that will allow you to do the owner builder. The owner builder, though, you can only do on one property for 7 years. So you can't do anything for the next 7 years on that property or on any other property.
Okay.
So it's one property every 7 years you can do, but you've got to reapply each time.
Okay.
So.
Not many people would know that.
No.
But it is a way to do it yourself and working alongside someone like Joe as a building consultant. And you get that satisfaction of doing it yourself, as we said.
Yeah.
But you also have the knowledge that you're doing it right, and you've got that assistance leading you and teaching you every step of the way as well.
Because there are people who just want to have, you know, their finger in and making sure that they know what's going on, but also have other people doing it for them.
Yes.
Okay. So the home base in Wembley.
Yes.
The white card. Where do we go for that?
Go online. Mm-hmm. There's many people that actually do a white card. Even the home base Wembley can help you when you actually do the course. They tell you how to go about getting that. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of information. But you can even just Google white construction card application.
Yep. Okay.
And then
training facilities in WA that go there, do a classroom environment.
Yep.
Take you through and do your white card as well. So
it doesn't hurt for anyone to do it. It's actually good to know or step, because it's about safety as well. The white card is predominantly about work safety. So,
yeah.
And the other thing is, if you want to be owner builder or anything like that, everything that's done with a residential property is bound by the Building Act 2011. And also the Home Contracts Act of, from 1991. But the Building Act 2011, you know, go into the Building Commission or go and get a copy of it, read about it. There's also, I believe, a Building Approvals Guide that helps you with the processes. So Michael, who talked about the design concept, that's actually, he discussed the actual process. Well, that's actually a guide that you can actually get more detail on. And they're all available on the Department of Commerce website.
Okay.
So, which is one of the places we suggested right at the beginning. It's a very good source of information.
So basically, the bottom line is don't cut corners.
Exactly
and
right.
Don't go for the cheap option.
No.
sure that you've done your due diligence. We keep saying that.
Yes. Yeah. Every step of the way, you need to keep doing it. Know what you're doing. And if you don't, ask. There is so many people out there that can help you and not cowboys. Yeah. Mm. There are so many good trades out there that can help, good assistance, even from, as I said, suppliers in their own stores. Ask the question. And if you need that extra comfort, a building consultant is the ideal way to go, and you're having someone work alongside you.
So can we check up on something? If we've asked for someone's qualifications, can we then take their number and their name and check up to make sure that they are legitimate?
Most certainly. MBA, WA have a register of everyone that's had their builder's registration approved.
Mm-hmm.
There's over 5,000 odd members. You can actually go onto their website, put in the contractor's contract name or his personal name, and it'll bring up if he's a personal registered builder or a contracted registered person. So
and you've got the same, is that right, for the electricians, the plumbers, painters?
Yep.
They're all registered.
Electricians,
right?
Well, plumbers at present fall under the BC now,
the Building Commission.
Building Commission.
Yep.
So you can check for plumbers there. There is going to be some more changes, I reckon, over the next 12 to 18 months.
To make it more streamlined.
Streamlined, right. Most definitely. I think the painters will end up under there as well, yeah. Under the BC, which to me is understandable. It should be. We're all part of one building group.
Yeah.
So we should all be, instead of having all these little individual subdivisions, they should be all under one banner.
Because we're all bound by the same. Everyone is. Even if you're an owner builder, you're all bound by the same Building Act. You've got the same Australian standards to work to. So it's a big area, and obviously we can talk about it forever because there's a lot when it comes to the building part of it.
Yeah.
But, just go online, go to the Department of Commerce, read about whatever you can. There's plenty of things to download. So get that knowledge base up, and it will do you good in the long run.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us again on Renovating in WA. Sue Daly from Into Property and Joe Maiolo from Maiolo Constructions, proud station sponsors.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you, Sally.